Welcome to Carlin and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, recently I got a call from Helen Hennessy from the Gawler Cultural Heritage Foundation about a special auction that was coming up in regards to old football and cricket memorabilia.
Fabulous. Now, are these... A few years back, you invited me to come to a presentation you were doing on the history of Gawler Sports. Is that the same group?
No, it's a different group to that. That's the they used to meet once a month down at down in Gawler, and they had guest speakers all talking about Gawler history. Gawler now and then was the main part of the group, and people would submit photographs, et cetera, and that would go online. But this here particular group is looking at sort of finding and acquiring pieces of Gawler history from a range of things, not only sports, but a range of different things.
It's fabulous, isn't it? And it's as I've got older, I've certainly learned to appreciate history more. It's interesting when you travel. I remember travelling when I was younger overseas as an athlete and, like, looking at beautiful places in Germany and different parts of Europe and England and Scotland, you think, oh my God, the history here and the buildings and just all the things you would see. I thought, I don't see them at home. And I remember coming back to Adelaide and walking through the city, like through the universities and around the – I thought,
wow.
I didn't appreciate Adelaide's history. You know, like these beautiful old buildings that as a young kid you just sort of ignore. And I imagine the same thing happens at like Angola. Like I went down to Strathalbyn during the school holidays and thought, wow, this is a beautiful place. But then you start thinking, actually, there's a lot of similarities with Gawler in terms of the time frame and the buildings and all the different things that have happened. And so I think I would say thank you to these people who are doing this because not everybody would appreciate it now, but they will in the future. At some point in our lives, we start to appreciate history.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's places in Gawler we've always taken for granted. I mean, Dead Man Pass itself, I mean, not only because Colonel Light, when he came to Gawler, sort of part that dead man in the tree, but you know, people often talk about the swing bridge that used to be there. And, of course, you had the three-day equestrian events there. You had, in 1986, you had the, I believe the Prince came over, to open it. So, you know, and then you've got buildings like, you know, well, the Institute building's been upgraded, but it's still got that.
They did a good job upgrading it, and the stonework, the stonemason who did the stonework did a fabulous job.
But it's kept a lot of the facade of what was there. And then you got Parapara House, and, you know, you got so many beautiful buildings that are, you know, getting on towards 200 years old in the next 50 years.
Yeah, fabulous. And so, yeah, well done to people who are restoring and looking after our history.
Well, because of my historical bent to, you know, study sports, et cetera, and in Gawler, they came to me and asked my opinion. And as it ended up, I ended up being the representative of the group to go and bid for these items. And they were stunning. There were things I've never seen before, but the prices, it was Michael Treloar's auction house, and this came from a Grant Morton collection, and most of the stuff is, you know, pre-World War II, but it goes right back to the, you know, 1880s, and there were several items for Gawler, the membership card for the footy clubs and cricket club, and there was even a postcard of the 1906 South Gawler Premiership team.
So tell us about each of the items that you actually ended up purchasing. Were there any that you missed out on?
I missed out on one. Look, the lot numbers for the initial Gawler stuff was 14, 15, 16, 17 and 18, plus the postcard from South Gawler was number 81, and there was like 90-odd items. And number 14 was Gawler Albion Football Club 1887. Now, that was the first year Gawler had a team in what is now league football. It was a SAFA back then. And we combined the Gawler Club and the Albion Club to play in that competition. They changed it to just Gawler the following year. They lasted four seasons. But in the interim, what became the Gawler Football League started in 1889 with Gawler Central, South Gawler and Willesden. And one of the cards was Gawler Central from 1891. And the called a football club, 1888 and 1889. So it's a real good sort of period of when Gawler was changing its football, where it became sort of competition-based.
Yeah, I'm just looking. You sent me a copy of the catalogue. So as you speak, I'm just looking at the items that you've purchased. And isn't it fabulous that something – I mean, here you've got your member's ticket, a yellow card, but it's from 1891.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the things that we throw out these days that we go, oh, that's not important. But someone's kept a bit of cardboard that represents that person. I mean, like as you talk about what it represents, like leading into what we now know of the Gawler Barossa League.
Well, the nicest one was number 17, which was a Gawler Football Club 1888. And it's a little card, but it's in a leather little pouch.
It's beautiful looking. And it's got like embossed or engraved. Is it, what is that on the outside of the leather?
Gawler Football Club.
I know, but are those, are they metal?
No, that's
Or is
leather.
That just, oh, that's leather?
That's leather, yeah. And there's your parchment paper inside. And don't you just love the writing from that
period? No, it's fabulous. My mum's a great calligrapher. She not so much now because of arthritis, but back in the day she learnt to do this fabulous calligraphy with the nuns when she was at school back in the day. And it reminds me of that, like just the writing and it's just a different time, isn't it?
You know, a lot of these cards originally were to Richard Burton and yes. And of course we're talking about 1880s. And some wag said to me, oh, was he married to Elizabeth Taylor? And I said, you mean Cleopatra?
But, not the right time.
Yeah, no, but it's just an absolute fantastic collection. But the trouble is a lot of these items have a bottom price. And a lot of these, I think, were like
$250. Well, this one says $250 to $350, I guess, as the guide for people who were
– Well, they were all that amount. And you could bid on it online leading up to the actual auction, which was on a Thursday night from 7 o'clock, and they went through item one, two, like that. And they, you know, if you wanted to bid, you had to outbid if anyone had bid on it or whatever, and it was all done electronically. And I was going through, I put bids on the various ones through the first week or two before the auction, and I was sort of there watching them ready to go. And on the first one, no one sort of outbid. I put 200 on there. And that 200, on top of that, there's a 20% fee for the auctioneer that you've got to pay on top of that. So that's where you get your 250 from. But, you know, I won that and I thought, oh, you beauty. But the second item, someone had outbid me. And so I put a bid on. They put a bid straight on because obviously they'd put a larger amount on, which automatically comes up. And I got up to $480. Wow. And I thought to myself, well, I know the foundation gave me a limited amount of money, and this is only the second thing up. I thought, if I spend much more than that, I'm not going to have any money left for the others.
So I had to let that one go. And that was this one here, the Gawler and Union Cricket Club?
Yeah.
Ticket 1883 to 1884.
And the most interest, of course, on the signatures. But the funny thing about this one is that when I originally gave priority lists of the five, that was my fifth priority. And it's only when really you look at the signatures on there that it becomes a lot more valuable because these people were involved in the original institute. But, yeah, sadly I missed out, and I found out it was an interstate bidder that's always bidding on cricket items, so I didn't have a chance with that one.
No, but tell us about the others.
Well, of the other three, I think the only 91 Call Essential one, someone tried to outbid me, but I put another bid in and we managed to get that one as well. And the other two, no one sort of bid against me. The timing was that if you put your money on at a certain period, I didn't put them all on at once because I wanted to draw out to see if there was anyone else. And the idea was then I'd wait and try to outbid them when the auction started. But at 7 o'clock, just before the auction started, the last one that I hadn't bid on, I put 200 on. So obviously other people were thinking, oh, it's already gone for 200. I don't want to pay more than 200. So as it turned out, I won all those. So for the
Was that a stressful time for you, Rob? Like auction?
It was exciting. It was, watching it because you're not there watching people. You're actually watching the screen.
Yeah.
And you're watching, it tells you clearly that you've been outbid or that you've won, there's all the stuff that you expect from an auction. But it was late at night. Like, it started at 7. It was going on. I didn't wait for the South Gawler one. That was, I'd put $40 on that because that was 50 to 100 or whatever. But I put $100 on there so that if anyone came on, I still had a good chance of winning it. So I didn't actually watch that particular auction. But I was knackered after these. It really takes a lot out of you because there's adrenaline and because I was bidding for this foundation.
Yes, you're bidding for somebody else. Yeah, so it's nice to bid with someone else's money.
It is.
But then you're responsible, you feel responsible to them.
Well, I did my best to get all the items for the lowest possible price. And they're very happy because really we missed out on one, but the whole price for everything else, we only went $20 over.
Oh, well done.
So,
good job.
Yeah, and as it turned out, we had some extra money. I could have bid on the cricket one because it was the second one up. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
No.
So, yeah, but then again, that guy probably put $1,000 on it.
Yeah.
He really, really wanted it. I mean, I was actually quite surprised. And I thought to myself, I hope that's not another Gawler person bidding against me because the foundation sort of like, they got donations from all over the place. They got donations. Tom Zyke from Sports Power Gawler, he donated some. And Jimmy Vallelonga from Cafe Nova, John Brereton from Brereton Jewelers, Paul Barnett, an old mate of mine from the Bunyip. And a lot of the actual foundation members, it was really good. The money they raised was plenty of money. I think it cost us about $1,000 all up. So they raised more than that. They raised enough. I could have gone up to $600 or $700 for the cricket one, but like I said, you can't put
risk the others.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't have everything.
No, but they were very happy. Originally, the goal was to get one, you know, because you just don't know what the bidding's going to be like. But I'll tell you, like I said, there was 91 lots. There was one thing that really interested me, but it was a Noel Claxton gold medal that was presented to him from the North Adelaide Cricket Club, and I think it was 1906-07. And because Claxton Shield, Noel Claxton, all involved with baseball. It was, you know, something I thought was very important for baseball. North Adelaide Cricket Club no longer exists. It was swallowed up by the Prospect Cricket Club. So I thought, you know, $2,000 was a minimum. I thought, I didn't think.
You know what it went for in the end?
It didn't go. No bids. No bids.
How about the McGarry medals? Because there was a couple
40,000. Yeah. No, that didn't go either.
Wow.
But the thing is with the, I went to Baseball SA because I'm on the Heritage Committee. I'm their historian, and I suggested that they gave me a couple of thousand to buy this, but they took it to the board and they said no, they can't justify that cost.
It's tough for small sports, isn't it? You haven't got a big income stream to.
Well, I said to Tom that worked for Michael Treloars, I said to him, look, if it doesn't go off, I'd like to offer $600 plus your 20%. For the Claxton medal. But after it didn't go, and Michael sort of spoke to me, and he said to me, no, the vendors released it, so we're selling it from our shop now, and it's going to be probably $3,000 because the auction was a set price, and all these items will sell for more. So I said to him, well, if it ever becomes available for a lower price, you know, please contact me because I think that's important for baseball if no one else wants it.
And it'd be at some point, again, we think of all the things that would get lost in time, over time, and maybe that's what people can do is donate, like think about things that they might have and think about the groups like the Gawler Cultural Heritage Foundation and say, well, maybe they would be interested in some of those things.
Well, in the auction, obviously, there was photos, there was medals, there was badges, there was what they call euphemeria, which is like...
Well, I saw that word and I have never heard of it before.
Well, that's like the membership cards and things like that. But, you know, they had those two McGarry medals of Tom McKenzie from 1902 and 1905. I'd love to get them, but 40 grand? No,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I just want to finish on some of the photos are fabulous, isn't it? When you look at photos, this one here, the Australians, 1886, it's a cricket team. And this can't be the official. Is this the official photo, do you think?
They used to dress up like that. That was their.
I know, it looks very casual. You know, they're looking in different directions. One guy is sitting on the ground at the front, you know, which we might do as a joke, legs across. Look at the uniforms are fabulous, aren't they?
You know, it's probably because of photographs like this in the old days that they decided that they need to, you know, tidy up the way they stand for photos.
No, but I just love that picture. And then when you look at some of the others, you think about, look at the football photos, and you think about our well-conditioned athletes of today. But when you look at some of these photos back then, these guys would not have been training full-time. They were like, you know, doing whatever. They're pretty fit, strong-looking people.
Yeah, but they're like farmers and, you know, for want of a better word, factory workers, people like this that would be, you know, labourers, and they would really be strong men. And, it was a different game back then.
You can see it, can't you?
Absolutely. I'll tell you just quickly that there was a postcard for Tanunda Football Club in 1907. And of course, the Boston Light didn't start to 1908. And there was a Freeling postcard of their team, the premiers from 1910. So there was quite a bit of interesting info.
Fabulous.
Well, so ends another Carlton Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.